And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio, 98.1 FM, and also on Free FM 89.0, and also streaming live on various podcasts, and on various podcasts later on. So we've got a busy show ahead of us today. We've got going to be talking to local MP Barbara Keurig about things coming out of the beehive which are going to affect the primary sector and rural communities later on. Previous to that, we're going to be talking to Maddie Kirk about one-off surfing for farmers happening here at Naranui Beach this Sunday. Probably won't have time for the gardening to-dos, but we'll get the weather and the news done. So it's a show backwards, so let's start it the other way. And here's one we're talking about last night. We're at the pub quiz last night. The Raglan Community Radio's got a team there. We came second, but yeah, like we did last week, but we're closing on the top dogs. We're closing. But anyway, we got chatting about music docos, and this song for me popped out from the doco called Muscle Shoals, I think it was, and Aretha Franklin's first breakthrough hit as the Queen of Soul, I Never Loved a Man. I hope you enjoy this one. I'll come back with the headlines after that one. Ladies and gentlemen, I Never Loved a Man by Aretha Franklin with the Swampers as the backing band there out of Marshall Shoals. Now, let's look at the headlines here. Primary sector headlines on Over the Fence show. And the dairy sector has launched a plan setting out how it will attract, retain and grow its workforce in the next decade. Dairy NZ has come up with a Great Futures in Dairying plan to shape dairy farming as a competitive career option, and which was going to address, they hope, labour shortages in the industry. Dairy NZ Chief Executive Tom Mackle says dairying employs about 37,000 people on the farm alone, and we need our people on farms who are talented. So a bit of an initiative there. Rob Furlong, the new boss of Predator Free 2050, says New Zealand is on track to reach the target and is excited to be involved in the effort. The government-owned charitable company was set up in 2016 to make a significant contribution to the goal of removing possums, stoats and rats from Aotearoa. Furlong said Predator Free 2050 has already made great progress and we are on track to meet the interim targets for 2025. But there's no doubt the 2050 target is going to be hard, because as we go on, it's only going to get harder to get rid of the last pests. But there's so much support for the mission right across the country. And I was actually going to get a hold of Crystal to see if they, from the Karioi Project, see if they get any funding from them for their mahi. So I'll investigate that as time goes by. And dairy farmers are being reminded that they have until the end of next month to report their use of synthetic nitrogen fertiliser. If farmers have any questions about filing their information, they should get in touch with their regional council or fertiliser company. And I read that out on last week, but I thought I'd just read it out again this week. And fencing contractors say ordering materials 2 to 3 months in advance is now the new normal. Demand has been outstripping supply for timber products across the country due to a housing boom and supply chain issues. Fencing Contractors Association President Phil Cornelius said after 2 years of delays, fences were getting better at ordering a product in advance. He adds the supply of timber does seem to be getting better, and the wood's there, it's just taking longer for it to go through the mills. But things like number 1 and 2 rounds and 2.4 and 2.7 metre strainers can be harder to get. And a project looking into the viability of large-scale spirulina production in New Zealand is going well. In November 2020, the government and New Zealand Algae Innovations announced a $250,000 project to see if the algae could be grown in New Zealand on a commercial scale. Currently, New Zealand Algae Innovations has a 400 square metre farm dedicated to growing spirulina in purpose-built shallow ponds on the outskirts of Himitangi in Manawatū, Whanganui kind of area. But the project will now move to Palmerston North, where they intend to make it larger. And New Zealand and the European Union's historic free trade deal means that the value of New Zealand exports to the EU will increase by $1.8 billion a year by 2035. Red meat and dairy will go up to $120 million worth of new annual export revenue on day one of the deal, with estimates of more than $600 million within 7 years. And quotas have been established for butter, cheese, milk powder and protein whey. And yes, we get a chance to ask Barbara Kura about that in just a little while. So there's some headlines for the week. I'll come back with the weather after this one by Sneaky Feelings called Cry You Out of My Eyes.
It's true, I said I wouldn't cry. Didn't think I would, but my decision has had revision. I'm gonna cry until I've cleared my head. All I see is the hurt you left behind. That's why I'm crying. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry you out of my eyes. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry you out of my eyes. If I slept a wink, I must have blinked. I don't think a second ticked around. Didn't count. I sent a demon to my heart, sent him searching every part to rout all of you out. I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna cry you out of my eyes. I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna cry you out of my eyes. If she's a pool of tears weighing down your heart, there's a pain and you don't know how to lose it. Someone's gonna come. first I closed my eyes and all I'd see was you. Sad but true. Well, now you tell me how you feel. You hate tears and pedal steel here. This one's for you. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry you out of my eyes. I'm gonna cry.
Sneaky Feelings there with Cry You Out of My Eyes, and it's weather time now on the Over the Fence show, and a front pushes off the North Island today, moving away to the northeast, and a high moves in behind it, settling the weather a little, and it is quite settled out there. Actually, there's blue skies coming out after quite a bit of rain yesterday. Looking out the window down here on Bow Street from the Raglan Community Radio HQ here in the town hall today. And the rain will clear away with sunny spells set to increase, and showers are a bit slower to clear north Northland. And will clear the east coast, won't clear the east coast till this evening. And a few showers will move in between the Bay of Plenty and eastern Northland later this evening as light winds tend to the east. Friday, a warm then cold front is due to move over New Zealand, pushing in from the Tassie, bringing rain from for western regions, Nelson, Bay of Plenty, and will be heavy in areas. Waikato today, morning rain clears with some sunny breaks through plenty of high cloud and winds from the southwest. Possible showers tomorrow, rain expected over the weekend and into next week. Yes, and daytime temperatures this week range between 15 and 18 degrees, so still pretty warm. And nighttime temperatures will be at 8 degrees this evening, they're predicting, and then somewhere between 11 and 14 degrees Celsius for the rest of the week. The winds are moving around a lot this week, folks. Winds today, southeasterlies. Tomorrow, east nor'easterlies, northerlies Friday, west nor'westerlies Saturday, nor'westerlies Sunday, east nor'easterlies Monday, west nor'westerlies Tuesday and Wednesday. So getting all around through the quarters, the winds. And the sun rose this morning, ladies and gentlemen, at 7:36 and will set at 5:14 this evening. The length of visible light is 10 hours and 36 minutes. The actual day length is 9 hours and 37 minutes. Humidity today is somewhere between 87 and 89%. And tomorrow will be 45 seconds longer than today. So that's lengthening out a little as the weeks go by. And the moon's a waxing crescent moon, somewhere between 37 and 48% illuminated. Will rise at 11:44 a.m. and set at 11:52 p.m. And the first quarter is tomorrow, and there's a full moon coming up on the 14th. And I've seen it written somewhere that it's going to be a super full moon, so whatever that means. And the rainfall this week, a mixed bag. Ron Rumble out there in Ruapuki, 27.5 mils. Thank you, Ron. Chris out at Okiti had 78 mils. Thank you, Chris. Craig also had 78 mils up in Tūtuai. Thank you, Craig. And Callum had 52 mils at Three Streams. So thanks for that, Callum. All right, so there's the weather. I'll come back with some announcements after this one, boy. Head like a hole, crying shame. We'll be right back.
She swang the wind and the death of a Grand Canyon in her stem. Yeah, a horse fly whipping echoes are pounding. We stood a coming ground. At the end of the day, otherwise it's a crime scene. She swang the whip and the death of a Grand Canyon in their step. Yeah, horsefly whipping echoes about it. We stood a coming round.
And welcome back to the Over the Fence show, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're joined on the phone from Wellington by Matty Kirk. You hear me, Matty?
Yeah, I can, mate. How you going?
Nice. And you're down the capital?
Down the capital, yep. Been down here since Sunday afternoon. Down here for a contractors conference with Pioneer. So, yeah, it's been a fun few days, mate. It's a very nice city on a nice day, which it is today.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, that's what they always say. Can't beat Wellington on a good day. That's what all the Wellingtonians say, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
But anyways, man, we're here to talk about a one-off special edition Surfing for Farmers happening at Naranui Beach on Sunday, Matty. You want to fill us in about it?
Yeah, sweet. Well, we just thought it'd be a good idea to have a midwinter event. Cold water is very good for the mind, body and soul. So, we've invited all of our contractors and farmers to the beach on Sunday afternoon to have a Surfing for Farmers session. Pretty laid back, just probably gonna crack into it around one, have a bit of a surf with the Greenway boys, and then standard sort of barbecue and beer to finish off.
Nice. And have you had much feedback? Are you gonna get many folks there?
Yeah. It's probably gonna be about the same numbers as we normally get, Craig, on a Wednesday night. We're putting a face painter on as well, so we've really targeted the family audiences for this one.
Nice.
So actually get some families with their kids, and we've got a local Raglan lady Liz coming in to do the face painting, and we've got a few games and stuff going on, mate, so it should be pretty good.
Oh, awesome, mate. Nice family fun day at the beach. Sounds great. Especially for daylight today, it'll be nice. Yes.
Yeah. I've heard the surf's been pumping since I've been gone.
Yeah, I've heard that too, actually. Aaron's been saying there's been some good waves the last couple of days. But, when you get back.
I managed to sneak one in on Saturday night, to be fair, before I left, because I could sort of see the forecast. It's typical, eh? It's no good for a month, and then the week that you go away, it's pumping.
Such is life, I guess. Am I?
No, first real problem. So, all good. That's sort of us. That's what we're up to this weekend. So, if anyone's out there and wants to come down and see what Surfing for Farmers is all about, then you're more than welcome. We'll be at the surf club sort of mid-afternoon, and it'd be good to see anyone who wants to come along.
Yeah, right on, man. And just bring yourself. Don't need to bring anything, do you, Matty? It's all supplied for you, and Just turn up. Get into it.
Turn up. Yeah, that's it, Craig. Just turn up and, yeah, we'll look after you. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, all right, Matty. Well, you enjoy the capital and we'll see you Sunday.
Awesome, Craig. Thanks, mate.
Thanks very much, Matty. Appreciate it, man.
Cheers, bro.
See you, bye. See you, bro. Matty Kirk there with talking about surfing farmers. So that's this Sunday, folks, in Naranuru Beach. from about 1 o'clock it'll run. They expect it to run to about 4. But yeah, family fun day. Hey, Lisa. And other announcements I have from the good people over there, over the town hall from here, the Whangarau Environment Centre. Of course, out in the entranceway, there is the Aroha stand where it's basically free seeds, free locally grown seeds. You just go in there and they have some planting stuff there and punnets and what have you. So just fire it all in there, take some seeds home, give them a water and start growing your own stuff. And the tool library is, of course, open today from 9 to 5. So go in there and sign up. They've got an excellent range of tools in there you can peruse, then use. And also, the community gardens that we near Street Raglan are thriving again. And this is an announcement from the Whangarau Environment Centre. We're at the back of the police station by the harbour with an exceptional view of Kariui Te Maunga. Working bees twice a month on 2nd and 4th Tuesdays in summer and 9:30 to 11 a.m. in winter, and 3 to 4:30. Yeah, in winter, sorry. 3 to 4:30 in winter. So come along, beginner gardeners, good place for kids and adults, and this group is to facilitate communication amongst all members in the Whangarau community interested in being part of this initiative and in helping to make the space a beautiful and successful garden. The main goal is to produce kai. And there's a Whangarau Community Garden celebration happening on Tuesday, the 12th of July, from 3 to 4:30. And they're inviting everyone's interested to come along and have a look at the community gardens there and celebrate all the mahi that's been done down there and new box gardens to show off they have. Yeah, good opportunity to bounce around a few ideas, hear some gardening stories, have an afternoon tea. Yeah. So there we are, 12th of July from 3 to 4:30. And also, the Whangarau Environment Centre is holding a showing of the movie WALL-E, the old Disney movie, on Sunday, 24th of July this year. 1 o'clock matinee screening, then 4 o'clock evening screening. $3 a ticket. Tickets are limited, so you've got to book online or Facebook at the Whangarau Environment Centre to get your tickets for that and take the kids along. Children must be accompanied by a caregiver, and every adult must be accompanied by a child, it says here. Very nice. So, yeah, WALL-E, the movie, get along to that one. That's, yeah, two showings on the 24th, Sunday 24th. So not this one, next one. 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So book that in with the family. That'll be fun. I think that's it as far as I've got to go for public service announcements. So I'm going to play for you now a bat song called I've Seen It All Before. And if we get a chance, I might try and squeeze in some gardening after that. There's the bats. I've Seen It All Before.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the... Oh, that was Bat, sorry. I've seen it all before. And welcome back to the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Commuter Radio, 98.1 FM and Free FM on 89.0 throughout the Waikato. And now we're joined by local MP for Taranaki, the King Country and the Waikato, Barbara Kuriga. Can you hear me all right, Barbara?
Good afternoon. I can hear you very well, thank you.
Excellent. And how you been today, Barbara?
Oh, very good. I'm actually at the Primary Industries Summit with a few hundred farmers, so it's been quite good. We've had a few presentations this morning. It's a two-day conference.
Okay.
I think what's actually happening at the moment is post all of the really strict COVID regulations, this week we've had Silver Fern conferences. We've got a Balanced Farm Environment Award tonight. I've got a Ground Spread conference on Friday and the Young Farmer at the weekend. So I think everybody's kind of doing all the things now that they weren't able to do for quite a long period of time, and the face-to-face stuff is great.
Yeah, I think we had a Matariki celebration here on Sunday, and it was well attended. There was about 500 people there, and yeah, I got the vibe that everyone was just happy to be, you know, out and sort of talking to each other again and being in community.
Nothing
beats
it. Nothing beats it. It's actually, I mean, we've had to stay protected for our wellness, but once we're, you know, when we're clear, the best thing we can do is be out talking to each other face-to-face, because that's what humans do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I guess to start with, I mean, how's the winter been down Taranaki on farm down there?
Look, it's been relatively good, actually. You know, hasn't really been a cold winter. We've had a couple of cold, wet days, but probably very similar to what persists up in Raglan and all the way through. I mean, I was very pleased to see the Waikato get some rain earlier on, because they were much drier at that end of the electorate than what my farmers were at the Taranaki end of the electorate for quite a substantial period of time. So, yeah, no, look, I think some of the autumn was pretty hard on some of the Waikato farmers, but yeah, hopefully things are going to set themselves up for a good spring now.
Yeah, no, it was the dustiest May I can ever remember, put it that way. Yeah, all the gravel roads are still kicking up a lot of dust, and it was like pretty much all the way through May, which is unusual. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, well, it went on for a long time, and that's the hard part. You can cope with a dry period for a certain amount of time, and then all of a sudden, if it goes on and on and on, you start asking questions about how much food to buy in, how long, or, you know, when do I dry off? All of those sorts of things become pretty difficult issues to solve.
Mm, yeah, for sure, yeah. But, yeah, no, it's greened up, and I think it's still growing. It's still pretty warm, so, everyone's smiling a bit more now, all the farmers anyways.
Yes, and they should be. They're doing a good job.
Yep.
We belong to the best industry in the country, right across the farmer and grower sector, and we have really kept the country afloat, and farmers should be proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what? Who's all up there at the conference today? Agriculture, horticulture, all sorts?
Right across the board. All of the above. So it's a conference that's run by Federated Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning we've heard from dairy, we've heard from horticulture, we've heard a bit from meat. We're hearing from people across the board over the next couple of days, and talked a bit of trade as well, and the difficulties of trying to get a good negotiated outcome with the EU. So that's not easy. They're quite protectionist, and while we what we've heard this morning is that while we are, it's very important to us, and we're pretty miffed about what dairy and beef got out of it. Actually, we don't actually mean that much to them. So it was a pretty hard bargain. I think a lot of the other industries did gain, a reasonable substantial amount out of it. Mm. But it is still disappointing for our bigger industries.
Yeah, I mean, maybe give us a rundown of what actually came out of it for these sectors you're talking about.
A quick
rundown, I guess.
Something like 0.1%.
Oh, really? Okay.
For dairy and for beef, so very small quantities, but it is a hard market to get into. We thought, I think after the UK deal that happened earlier on, that that one was quite good. We thought we might get something a bit more, but it's not easy to negotiate with 26 countries, is my understanding. And I think the biggest issue I have with it all at the moment is that we shouldn't really be looking at each other as food production enemies, because when we think about what Putin's doing to the Ukraine, and we think about grain prices and fuel prices, food security, energy security. And another 2 billion people that are going to arrive on this planet in the next, you know, however many years. There's a lot that we could do together, actually, and collaborate, because, you know, food's going to be all important to the growing world population.
Yeah, yeah, you're quite right there, and it's a tricky one, isn't it? Between trade, you've got to make export money, I guess, but at the same time, we're trying to do the same thing, right? Feed the people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it's about. We call ourselves farmers and horticulturalists, but we really are all food producers.
All right, and I'm just got a list of things here I've noticed popping up. I actually had on last week. No, I was really quite impressed with them too. There was five of them in the studio here, and they were touring around rural schools throughout the Waikato, tertiary students. They were trying to encourage school children into careers in rural health, and they've been up in Onifero, went to Tuako, Tikowhata, and then they came here, and then they were heading down to, I think, Tikwiti and Taupo, I think. I was most impressed with them. I mean, the amount of years you've got to spend studying to get anywhere and, to be a doctor, it's a big, big commitment. So, yeah, hats off to them. But it makes me kind of think.
Going around, actually, and trying to encourage students, because we need all the rural health support we can get at the moment. And last week in Parliament, we had the launch of Hauora Tai Whenua.
Yes.
So that is a group of the rural doctors, rural nurses, rural support trusts. There was virtually nine different entities that said, right, we're going to pull together and we're actually going to lobby to government as one entity instead of a collection of a whole lot of entities to try and give a bit more force on the rural front, because, you know, we might be only 750,000 people out of the 5 million, but we are spread from here, there and everywhere. And I mean, I represent places like Wongamomina that are miles from anywhere. You know, all of those people deserve to have a primary health service as well. You know, we can't always have a doctor in every town, but we can have the nursing support people, or, you know, people in schools and things like that. So there's a lot of work to do in the rural space.
Yeah, I mean, you got any idea of how short, the rural sector actually is of doctors and things like that, Barbara?
Oh, look, I don't think we're going to get enough doctors for a very long time. Very short, not only in training them, but having them come into the country of late is a bit difficult as well.
Mm.
And the people that really do struggle is you get the people come in the country to work for rest homes for the elderly people, and before we know it, they've gone off into the health system. I mean, there's just not enough, and they're moving from one place to the next. And I don't think we're going to have a magic sort of appearance of a whole lot of doctors soon. We need to look at getting as many as we can, training as many as we can. But you get, a lot of nurses who can take care now of the basic work before the doctor even needs to see that person. And then with telehealth, if you do have a doctor, there's an opportunity to talk to specialists through telehealth and things like that before you have to send somebody, you know, 2 or 3 hours to go and see a specialist. So I think we just need to get some of the right constructs in place, value the doctors we have and get more of them, but actually use our health professionals, our nurses and our others, to do the things that they are so skilled at doing as well.
Mm. That's if they're not too flat out busy already.
Well, we need more. I think everyone's flat sick busy at the moment. And then, of course, you know, people having time off with COVID, which they rightly need to do, just sort of makes that a bigger problem.
Mm. Yeah. And there's also been quite a bit popping up in the news I've been looking at anyways about more funding coming towards rural health. I think it's Fiona Bolden's been saying a few things about how it was initially left out of the new health sort of thing, wasn't it? But that's changed now, isn't it? Is that right?
Well, we put up a bit of a fight in Parliament because initially it was left out of the legislation. It was sort of like one tiny little mention in amongst a whole lot of other things. And we did put up a fight to the point that Andrew Little put up a supplementary order paper and had rural included as an entity. I don't know that the dollars have yet followed because they're still working through the health plan that goes with it.
Right.
And I'd hope, I saw Fiona the other day in Parliament actually with the Hauora Tai Whenua launch. I'm really hoping the dollars are going to follow the language, we hope.
Okay, so there's still a chance that, that this might not happen then, I take it.
Well, it should do, and we'll keep putting the pressure on until it does.
Yeah, yeah, because yes, it's, like you say, there's, you know, it's, yeah, sure, they're scattered around everywhere, but hey, you know, everyone needs the same kind of attention, right, at times.
Well, we're all humans, right?
Yeah.
And we all need the same things. It just gets delivered differently, and we just need to, you know, have the right delivery mechanisms, and it's important that we do that.
Was there anything about kind of mental health initiatives included in that one you're talking about?
Well, it's all part and parcel of it, really, and mental health is mentioned, but I mean the $1.9 billion that was budgeted for about 3 or 4 years ago, I just don't think the progress is really going into it, and it's the good old people like the rural mental health people and, you know, the Rural Support Trust and others who are doing really good work in that space, but often for very little, or, you know, they get a bit of funding from donations, a bit of funding from MPI, and they're doing a lot of the rural work. It needs a lot more focus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And everyone you talk to in the area says pretty much exactly that. Yeah, and it just needs more, more thrown at it, really. You know, just more attention paid to it.
And when we talk about mental health, everyone thinks about facilities, and yes, we do need those for the very serious cases. But at the same time, the more support we have in our rural communities and local communities, the more people we can save from having to go to those facilities, because sometimes if you can actually catch it quickly and get a community focus around individuals, then we can actually stop a lot of it from getting so much worse.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic, yeah, not trying to get in a bit earlier instead of the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff kind of set up,
exactly.
Isn't it? You know? Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was talking to another fellow a few weeks ago, Carl Stein. He's an organic dairy farmer from Galatea, and he was talking all about this new the carbon trading thing and trees on farms. Do you want to run us through that, Barbara?
Yeah, well, it's nice to talk about another organic dairy farmer, because actually that's what we do in Taranaki. We've got two organic dairy farms down there, so certainly understand where he's coming from.
Mm.
There's a couple of things going on at the moment. One is Hei Waka Eke Noa,
yes.
And that's a program that's being developed by the agricultural industries, all of them, in the room together to try and, rather than farming going into the ETS,
yeah.
It's actually a farmer agriculture, horticulture leaders forum where they've created a formula and I guess a toolbox. We're still a little bit short of tools yet.
Mm-hmm.
But a toolbox to measure and manage our emissions going forward. And part of that will be the sequestration of some of the native plantings and things that we do as well, which I think it's only fair if a pine tree gets recognition. All of the good indigenous native species that we've all planted in the QE2 block should also get some recognition.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's working through. The government's got till December to decide whether to accept all of it, none of it, or put farming in the ETS, which we hope they won't do, because farmers need to be, rather than a tax in the ETS, if they can pay a levy, which will then be redirected into research, we can help find some of the answers that we're looking for. So that's one half of the equation.
Mm.
The other half of the equation is that the ETS is driving a lot of behaviour at the moment around pine tree planting on good productive farmland.
Yes.
And that's a little bit harder to solve, but it will be solvable because we're dealing with private property rights, so we can't stop that. But up until now, the rules in the Overseas Investment Office have been favourable to forestry over and above other land types, and that's not fair.
Mm.
Should be an even playing field. And I think if we could actually get recognised some of the other plantings we do, there wouldn't be quite the same incentives for people to plant the pine trees. I want to make it really clear that we're not anti-people doing plantation forestry. Milling those trees, we should just be using more of them in New Zealand rather than sort of putting them on ships and sending them out as logs. We should be building houses out of them.
For sure, yep.
But it is that what worries the communities is, particularly over on the east coast of New Zealand, is these people that will come and take advantage of, I guess, our favourability with overseas investment on that front, plant the trees, walk away and never come back, and they'll just be left there, and there'll either be erosion problems, fire problems, pest problems, all of the above. And so we've got to make sure that they're maintained if they're going to be there. And so there's a lot of work going on there. It's not an easy fix, that one, but we're having lots of discussions around what settings we can put into place to improve that situation.
Yeah, and I think you were working with James Shaw out of the Greens on that one, weren't you?
James Stewart Nash in Labor, he's sort of trying to fix it. We have a few conversations with James Shaw around that, as well as with Hei Waka Eke Noa. I think when you're starting something from scratch like Hei Waka Eke Noa, you can sort of build the blocks as you go when you've got something that's already set in place. Like the ETS and the pine tree thing, you kind of got to change the rules, and it makes it a little bit more difficult, especially when you're dealing with people's private property rights, because people are free to sell their land to whoever they wish to sell it to, but we've got to make sure that the right regulatory processes are in place for the people who do buy the land.
Carl was talking about, you know, certain amount of trees. I can't remember what he said. Maybe it was 14 trees per hectare or something like that. So is that going to be kind of how it rolls?
There's a lot of detail that's still being worked out at the moment. So that's a question that's a little bit beyond me, actually.
Okay. not quite there yet.
I think there's forestry equations, and then there are people who believe that you can put an umbrella of exotic trees up and actually regenerate all our indigenous species out underneath. But that's quite variable in the approach as well. So I don't really want to sort of talk trees per hectare, because there's a whole range of things going on.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, well, still in the pipeline getting worked out, that one. Yep. And speaking of things in the pipeline waiting to get worked out, where's the old organic certification bill? Is that pass or any hands yet, or still sitting there?
Every week in Parliament, James Shaw gets up and asks, and Minister O'Connor's office have sent me back to say, no, it's the House, the people who decide what's in the House that make that decision. The House say talk to the Minister. And James and I are just getting battered around from one side to the other. And unfortunately, we haven't seen it come back on the table yet. It was on the bottom of the agenda several times when we did urgency back at the start of the year. And I kept saying to the organic people, it might be this week, it might be this week. But it was always too far down the agenda. And now we don't even see it coming on each weekly plan. But James relentlessly every week asks the question and gets fobbed off yet again.
Oh, I suppose that's all we can do, right? Just keep asking the questions, I suppose, all we can do. Yeah,
exactly. Well, we've got to put it up eventually. I mean, it's better than most of the legislation that they're putting up anyway, so they should put it up. But that's my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Well, I suppose I'd better let you go, get back to your conference. Any last kind of words you want to add, Barbara?
Oh, no, just wishing everyone well, all your listeners well. We do seem to be coming through the COVID, albeit it's still there, but it really is enjoyable being able to get out and about again. So look to meet a few more of them face-to-face in the next couple of years than I have in the last couple.
Fantastic, yep. If you've got nothing else to do, there's a one-off midwinter surfing for farmers happening out at Raglan this weekend too, Barbara.
If you can make it. I'm at Young Farmers in Whangarei this weekend. Otherwise, I'd be pretty keen to come out, because the water's probably not that cold yet.
That's not too bad. I dipped my feet in it the other day, and it wasn't as cold as I expected it to be, so it was quite nice, actually. Yeah.
Well, I hope it goes really well.
Yeah. All right, well, enjoy the thing up Whangarei, and I hope the conference goes well, and look forward to chatting to you again in the next sort of couple of months on air, or whenever you're out in Raglan again.
Great. Good to talk to you. I always enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, Barbara. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Cheers.
See ya.
Bye. That was Barbara Kuriga there, ladies and gentlemen, the MP for Taranaki, the King Country, and the Waikato at a conference, primary sector conference up in Auckland today there, like she was talking about. So, All right, so there's kind of stuff coming out of the beehive, and that's pretty much it for the show today, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back again next week, all going well, and I'll leave you with Today Is Going to Be Mine by David Kilgore, and yes, me hidey a ho, I've got to go. Thank you, Fire Lucy, for that one, and yeah, take care, folks.
you're a rock or a pig. There are some people who can rise above, become famous, get in power, and they crush a limit. Going up when you know the whole world despises you. How do you feel? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it free? There are some people who can swallow their fear, go straight ahead and then crush the living daylights out of all around. What do you feel when you know that the whole
Dwarfs with Crush. See you, folks.